I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. The president's son-in-law and White House senior advisor Jared Kushner had private conversations with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman after the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi at the Turkish embassy. That's what the New York Times reported this week, an investigation into the close relationship between these two powerful 30-somethings. The CIA has concluded that the Crown Prince ordered the killing of Khashoggi, who was working for The Washington Post. According to The Times, Saudi leaders began their, quote, courtship of Kushner when Trump was elected president. We asked Mark Mazzetti, one of the authors of this report, to join us on Radio Times and tell us more. He is Washington correspondent for The New York Times. Mark Mazzetti, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Good to be back. Thanks.
Why, Jared, of all the people that the Saudi leaders could curry favor with, why Jared?
What we report on is this sort of two-year effort by the Saudis to get into the Trump inner circle. And they identified Jared Kushner early on, really immediately after the election of 2016, as someone who potentially could be a person they could work with. One, for one thing, he was influential within the Trump inner circle as the president's son-in-law. He also had this very strong commitment to the Middle East, issues in the Middle East, this idea of trying to bring about Middle East peace. And the Saudis saw Kushner as someone who allied with their own interests. And I'll be more specific. The Saudis actually gradually over time have seen Israel as, I won't say an ally, but as a country that is more in line with their interests than not, in particular, realigning the Middle East against Iran. And so what they saw in Kushner is someone with close ties to Israel and who might be able to push policies in the Trump administration that overall could be more hawkish towards Iran.
And I want to pick up on that, but you also write about his inexperience. I mean, did they see someone within the White House with obviously close associations with President-elect and then President Trump, someone that they could manipulate?
That was certainly a concern among some American officials early on, and some documents that we reported in our story on Sunday showed how the Saudis certainly saw, we don't use the word manipulation, but certainly someone they saw as inexperienced, someone who they could maybe help shape the views of about this region. And so that was something that they became committed to pretty early on in the process.
Well, we know I believe it was the first trip that the president took was to Saudi Arabia, and then much was made about arms sales. Mark, what can you tell us, I guess, about what was promoted and what was the reality when it came to arms sales, U.S. arms sales or weapons sales to Saudi Arabia?
This is one of the puzzling things of the last couple of years, is why the Trump administration, so early in the administration, comes out of the gate so for Saudi Arabia and so committed to this relationship. As you say, the first trip President Trump took overseas was to Riyadh for the summit, and there was a lot of lead into that. One of the things was a lot of arms sales that were promised to the Saudis. Jared Kushner, we reported and others reported, was intimately involved in helping broker those arms sales. There was also a several billion dollar infrastructure fund that was promised by the Saudis, infrastructure for the United States. So there were a lot of promises, but as is often the case with the U.S.-Saudi relationship, the promises are always are not often lived up to. There's usually promises of big deals, whether it's arms or other things, but people will tell you, in fact, the reality of the actual purchases is far less significant than the promises. But certainly, during that first period of time in the early months of the administration, there was a lot of discussion with the Saudis, a lot of promises, and, you know, that's piqued some interest of people, not just Washington politicians, but also the Mueller investigation, which has been, we've reported, interviewing people who were present for some of those talks to inquire, you know, what was going on behind the scenes before the Riyadh summit and some of these deals that were being put into place.
And again, that's Mark Mazzetti. He is a Washington-based investigative correspondent for The New York Times and one of the authors of a pretty comprehensive report on Sunday in The Times looking at the relationship between Jared Kushner and Saudi Arabia, and in particular, his relationship with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. You can join us 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Mark, what's at the root then of this relationship between Jared and Mohammed? They do apparently use each other's first name. You quote someone in your article talking about this bromance. What is this relationship about?
I think it's complicated. You know, on one level, it's possible these two young, influential people saw themselves with kindred spirits. They were people who were a new generation who had a great deal of influence and power at a young age. Now, we should point out that at the beginning of the Trump administration, Mohammed bin Salman was, in fact, the third in line to power in Saudi Arabia. He was actually just the defense minister and the deputy crown prince. But early on, the White House wooed him as almost as if he were king. He was brought to Washington and given really a treatment that's usually reserved for heads of state. And we report that a lot of that was Jared Kushner pushing that. He saw Mohammed bin Salman as someone who the United States should really try to get behind. And again, he wasn't even the next in line for the throne. It would be several months before he really very quickly pushed aside his cousin, who was the crown prince, and consolidated power. There's been a lot of questions about whether the U.S. and Jared Kushner in particular was sort of quietly giving its blessing to that consolidation of power, and that's still unclear. But there are a lot of different layers to the relationship. And another is, it should be said that Mohammed bin Salman at this time was also sort of pushing this reform agenda, making himself out as someone who is different than previous Saudi leaders, someone who would you know, bring entertainment, movies to Saudi Arabia, let women drive. He went, remember, to to the United States. He met with Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook. So he was trying to sort of show himself as a new face of Saudi Arabia.
But is he? I mean, yes, on the one hand, there were these more, I guess, reformist or even moderate things that he did. But nonetheless, there is a very ruthless side of him. And the CIA has concluded that he essentially ordered the murder of Khashoggi.
Absolutely. So this has been the facade to some degree versus the reality. Now, what have we seen over the last year? You've seen him, Mohammed bin Salman, who is now the crown prince, the next in line to the throne, and you know, for all intents and purposes, the real, I would say, leader of Saudi Arabia right now. He has had a ruthless crackdown inside the kingdom against his opponents under the guise of a anti-corruption crackdown. You'll recall that he jailed dozens and hundreds of other royals in the Four Seasons in Riyadh, or sorry, the Ritz-Carlton in Riyadh, and ordered some very brutal interrogations. Then, a couple months ago, we saw the brutal killing of Jamal Khashoggi, who, as you said, the CIA has determined was killed on the orders of Mohammed bin Salman. So this is, we're seeing the dark and ruthless side of Mohammed bin Salman coming out in the last year.
Let me play a clip. This goes back a couple of years, but I don't believe that President Trump has contradicted what he said. This is the president speaking to reporters. It's November 20th, and he's defending his decision not to cut ties and not to punish bin Salman for the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. They did not make that assessment. The CIA has looked at it. They've studied it a lot. They have nothing definitive. And the fact is, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. If you look at Iran, what they've done, they've been a bad actor. You look at what's happening in Syria with Assad, with hundreds of thousands of people killed. We are with Saudi Arabia. We're staying with Saudi Arabia. And by the way, just so everybody, I have no business whatsoever with Saudi Arabia. Couldn't care less.
Mark, we need to correct that. The intelligence agency, CIA in particular, have found or determined that Mohammed bin Salman did order the killing of Khashoggi.
Yes, and our best understanding of that CIA assessment is that there isn't one hard piece of damning evidence that shows exactly that he gave the order, that there was no, quote, smoking gun in the sense of an intercept, et cetera, of him giving the order. However, it is a very confident assessment of the CIA that he did actually order the killing of Khashoggi. To President Trump's statement, which was then followed up by really an extraordinary press release that the president put out, talking about basically how America first, the Saudi Arabia provides you know, jobs, money for the United States, so we really can't hold them to any kind of a standard of behavior, because basically everyone does this kind of stuff. It was extraordinary for an American president to put that kind of statement out, and he really sort of boiled down the sort of Trump doctrine, which is there are no values in American foreign policy. Basically, American foreign policy is transactional. Who we decide to be friends or enemies with is based on not American values, but this idea of who gives us what, who offers what, and who buys what from the United States. It's also, just quickly,
sure,
one important point to make is that statement is really put the United States and put the Saudi-U.S. relationship even more directly tied to the U.S.-Mohammed bin Salman relationship. Basically, he's saying the American relationship with the with Saudi Arabia is, in fact, the same as our relationship with MBS, as opposed to distancing the man from the country and saying, yes, the United States has interest in Saudi Arabia, but we also have interest in not being too close with someone who, as you said, the CIA determined had killed a journalist quite brutally.
In fact, in your story, you say that Jared Kushner was giving advice to bin Salman about how to weather the storm.
Yes, one of the things we reported was that these exchanges, and we believe some kind of text message exchanges between Jared Kushner and Mohammed bin Salman, have continued since Khashoggi's killing. And one of the things that Kushner has offered is some advice on what Mohammed bin Salman should be doing in the wake of this. Settle some of his disputes in the region, settle some of his disputes within the kingdom, don't make these kinds of mistakes again. And we also believe that Jared Kushner has internally inside the White House been making this argument that, hey, the United States-Saudi relationship is bigger than the killing of Jamal Khashoggi. Let us not forget that, and let us not overreact to this episode, and keep in mind the big picture, which is not just the U.S.-Saudi relationship, but its impact on the region. So this is where Kushner has played a very influential role since Khashoggi's killing.
And it's Kushner and bin Salman together, what, by themselves? And I'm curious, what is the response of the State Department? What is the response of the CIA or even the Defense Department to these private meetings?
Well, there was certainly concern, as we reported early on, when there seemed to be unsupervised calls and exchanges between MBS and Kushner. There was some effort to kind of institute more rules about those communications so that the rest of the American government knows what's going on when a senior White House advisor is communicating with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. There certainly is concern at the CIA. There's certainly concern at the State Department about kind of informal statecraft and how, you know, foreign policy is being conducted outside of normal channels. Now, this wouldn't be the first time this has ever happened, but, you know, when we're talking about a key American ally, we're talking about a very sensitive moment in the relationship after the Khashoggi killing, there is concern that there's sort of back-channel discussions going on that may be contrary to ultimately what the United States' interests are in Saudi Arabia.
Do we know what Kushner has said about the war in Yemen, what he has said to bin Salman, for instance?
Well, we know and have reported that, Kushner has Broadly supported the Saudi campaign in Yemen, and he has not, to the point of saying the Saudis should do whatever they want and the United States should not criticize them, but he has again seen the war in Yemen as one aspect of where the United States can support Saudi Arabia, support Mohammed bin Salman, keep this crucial relationship going forward. Again, not to overstate it, but it's important to see he sees this sort of remaking of the Middle East where the United States and the Saudis can work with Iran, work with the United Arab Emirates, work with Egypt in a way realigning the region against Iran, which many see, certainly that group see as the primary threat.
So Iran is the, what, number one enemy in the Middle East for the United States, according to the Trump administration?
Certainly. And it's certainly the number one enemy, not only of Israel, but of Saudi Arabia, of the UAE. And I think this is a generational thing as well, whereas the older generation of Saudis saw the Israel-Palestine issue as the sort of number one issue. And as long as the United States was supporting Israel, it was hard to get too close because the Saudis saw themselves as the sort of protector of the Palestinians. I think a younger generation sees things differently. They're less wedded to the Palestinian cause. That's certainly true of Mohammed bin Salman. And they see Iran as the great future threat. And those who might help Saudi Arabia align itself and defend itself against Iran can be potential allies. And that's where we even see a little bit of a thawing of relations between the Israelis and the Saudis.
Fascinating stuff. Mark Mazzetti, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Washington investigative correspondent for the New York Times. And again, talking about a report he had with some other Times journalists in the Sunday edition of the Times. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out more about the program. You can download a podcast of the show, find us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Also, if you join our group page on Facebook, you'll get a little demonstration about how flipboards work. Al Banks, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Bilder, John Ahrens, and Alex Stern. I'm Marty Moscowain. Thank you for joining us.